We get an opportunity today to pray over Gabby. Come on up, Gabby, and Jeff. Come on up, Jeff. Jeff's here for a few moments because they are literally on their way out the door after we pray over them to go to Ireland for 3 weeks for a missions trip. Yeah, yeah, awesome. Is Dave, yeah, Dave and Josh, could you come up here and pray over them too with me? And everybody else, just stretch your hands towards them. We're so excited for what God wants to accomplish through you guys and your family and the team that you're taking with you. God, we thank you for the team that's going to Northern Ireland. Ooh. God, I thank you that you've already planned every second of their trip before they even get there. That you already know the people they're going to impact through their love for you and their love for those people. And so, God, I pray for a Holy Spirit, powerful anointing on them as they're there. I pray for safety over them, Father, that even as they're on their way to Pittsburgh, to fly out of Pittsburgh, that you would just powerfully protect them and fill them up. God, I just see you filling them up with your Spirit even before they land in Dublin. I just see you, God, like a gas tanker coming in and filling them up with your Holy Spirit so that when they get to Dublin and even on the way there, they are pouring out your love in the airport. They're pouring out your love to the bus driver. They're pouring out your love and your power, your miraculous power on the beautiful people of Ireland, God. And I thank you for what you're going to do through them and in them, and we thank you for every single person who's going. We pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Be blessed. So excited for you guys. Can't wait to hear the stories. And if you were here last year after Gabby came back, she preached. Like, I thought she was going to give a 5-minute testimony. No, she preached. It was awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited to have her share again because I know it's going to be great. She'll be gone 22 days. I know, wild, right? That's just wild. She's going to have fun. Pray for mom, too. Her mom, right? That's hard on the parents. I don't know. That feels hard on the parents. So if you weren't here last week, I wanted to let you know that you have an insert in your program that tells you about the Megan Littlejohn Foundation and how we can bless them. But Willie wanted me to point out to you that you can only get this price if you go online and do it online in advance. You cannot get this price at the gate. So it's important that you do this in advance. And from what I understand, the seats are filling up pretty fast. So I would not hesitate. Don't do it now, but do it maybe right after service because they are filling up fast. Marie, good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. She just moved into a new facility, assisted living, right? So you got people waiting on you hand and foot, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. But we're happy you're here. It's awesome to see you again. So I wanted to make you aware of that. Also, next week, immediately following service, Heather, who is organizing our VBS this year, VBS 2018, so excited. She wants to have a meeting with all the people who signed up to volunteer. And because there's more of you, hallelujah, who signed up to volunteer than didn't, we're just going to simplify matters and have the meeting right in here in the sanctuary. So it'll be right after service. It's probably going to be about 15 to 20 minutes is what I understand. She's basically going to help us know where we're serving. And if you have an idea of where you want to serve, she's going to hear about that. But it's not going to be a big, long meeting. She just wants you to be aware of what's happening. And so we're ready, okay? So that's immediately following the service next week. If you're going to Whirly Ball or lunch afterwards, you have plenty of time, no problem. So some people are going to Whirly Ball next week, I'm just saying. So that's going to be fun too. I think there's information about that in your program as well. So I get to speak this morning on our new theme called Together. And of course, I have to break out in come together right now, right? Over me. How can you not? How can you not break out in that when you're preaching on together, right? Together. And today I felt like the Lord directed me to preach on the topic of together in truth. Together in truth. And it's interesting what he gave me as I shared. So I'm excited to share it with you. Point number one, for those of you who are on Facebook, I told you, I suggested that you read Acts chapter 10 before you came this morning. How many of you did that? Saw it and did it? Yeah. This message is going to mean more to you today because you did that. And it's really cool. I think before Dave even saw it, he posted one of the verses from Acts 10 on Facebook. I'm like, yes. I just love when God confirms like that. And so that's where I'm going to be speaking out of. So there's not going to be a lot of flipping of pages today. Get to Acts 10 either on your electronic device or on your hard copy. And we're going to stay there the whole time. The first point is get together with God to hear his truth. Get together with God to hear his truth. I want to tell you about a guy named Cornelius. No, we're not going to call him Corny for short. That would be rude. Cornelius, right? And here's what I know about him. I'm sure there's more than this to know about him, but this is what I know about him. He was both a soldier and a commander. Now, most of us know you get a picture in your mind of a guy when you hear he's a soldier and a commander, right? Another thing we know about him, that he was a Gentile, but he was a convert to Judaism. So he believed in God, the God of Israel. He converted, even though he was a Gentile by birth, by nationality, he was also a convert to the Jewish faith. The fact that he was a soldier and a commander in a Roman army that was seen as an enemy to the Jewish faith, this tells you something about him. Like, it tells you something about him. He was kind of not your typical soldier. He was open to hearing God and the truth. We also know that he was, based on the scripture, that he was both a worshiper and a giver. He regularly participated in prayers, and he regularly gave to people around him who were in need. So he was generous. We also know that he had probably, based on history, he had probably been accepted by the Jewish people as a new convert, but he was probably kept at arm's length. Okay? You know what I mean. Well, we love that you believe what we believe, but you're not totally 100% one of us. Because after all, you're wearing that Roman uniform, number one. Number two, you're a Gentile, and we've been taught our whole lives not to associate with Gentiles, that you are kind of down there. I had a guy tell me one time, super nice guy. He was one of our neighbors years ago, and he was a great Catholic man. I really respected him. Super nice. But he didn't believe, you know, in anything other than Catholic faith. And that's okay, you know. But after we got to know him and we loved on him for a long time and he loved on us, and at one point in our relationship, he goes, "You guys are okay." He goes, "You're going to make it to heaven." And we were like, "Wow." And then he goes, "I'm going to be up here and you're going to be down here, but you're going to make it to heaven." We were like, "Thanks." Right? I just took it. I didn't get offended. I just put a quote on Facebook this week by Craig Groeschel. Life is too short and my calling is too big to live offended. Okay? So just let that soak. That's a good one to soak on for a while. So I think Cornelius was probably treated that way by most Jewish people. Yeah, you're all right. It's good that you're a convert. It's good that you give to the poor. But you're going to make it to heaven, but you're going to be down here, and we're going to be up here. Keep that in mind. But we also know that he had great influence with his family and friends. And you'll see that in a moment. He was a man of influence. When a man has influence in his family, what that shows me is that he lives what he talks. A lot of men can find influence outside their family through power, through money, through position, whatever, through strength. But when a man has influence in his home, that says he lives what he says. It's a different ballgame. And he had influence. But Cornelius had never heard about the truth of Jesus. He was a good man, but he'd never heard about the truth of Jesus. So in Acts 10, we pick up verse 1. At that time, there was a Roman military officer, Cornelius, who was in charge of 100 men stationed in Caesarea. He was the captain of the Italian regiment, a devout man of extraordinary character who worshiped God and prayed regularly together with all of his family. He also had a heart for the poor and gave generously to help them. One afternoon about 3 o'clock, let's pause there for a moment. It's significant that it was about 3 o'clock when he went to pray, because in the Jewish tradition, there were specific times set aside throughout the day to pray. One was at 9 a.m., one was at noon, one was at 3. I think there was another one, but I know those three. So the fact that he was praying then speaks. That he was praying at 3 o'clock. So when he had an open vision and saw the angel of God appear right in front of him, calling out his name, Cornelius. Startled, he was overcome with fear by the sight of the angel. He asked, "What do you want, Lord?" The angel said, "All of your prayers and your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as an eternal offering." Woo, that gets me. That just gets me. Now send some men to Joppa at once. Have them find a man named Simon the Rock, who is staying as a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. After the angel left, Cornelius called for two of his servants and a trusted godly soldier who was his personal attaché. He explained to them everything that had just happened and sent them off to Joppa. In that encounter with the angel, you know what I noticed? That the angel called him by name first. You are known. God knows you. He knows you by name. I may not know you or I may know you, but God knows you by name. The second thing I notice about that encounter, if we could learn from this. The angel told him what heaven loved about him first. He didn't say, "Turn or burn." He didn't say, "Get saved or go to hell." He didn't say, "What's wrong with you? Jesus came through your area. Why didn't you pay attention?" He said, "Here's what God loves about you. You are a worshiper, you pray, and you're generous." Now, I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of my life thinking that if God ever sent an angel to talk to me, it wouldn't be to tell me things they love about me. It would be to tell me what's wrong with me. Tell me where I messed up. That's not what the angel does. What if we refused to speak to one person about faith until we saw them from heaven's perspective? Yeah. Here's what God loves about you. But what if they're, it doesn't matter. Get heaven's perspective on people before talking to them. Oh, I love that so much. And then we introduce Peter. Now, most of you know him from Scripture. Here's what we know about him. He was both a disciple and a discipler before we read about this encounter. He was one who had experienced incredible wins in the kingdom, and he had some pretty big losses, too. Yeah, I don't know that guy. That one, that was a biggie, right? He had been taught his entire life about Gentiles, come out from them and be separate. How many of you have heard that scripture in your life? Yeah. Come out from among them and be separate. He has preached and seen thousands converted at once, thousands converted to the faith, to Jesus. He's experienced supernatural healings, both done by Jesus in his presence and by him after Jesus had ascended, even before Jesus had ascended. Cornelius needed the truth of Jesus. Peter needed the truth of divine acceptance. They both needed truth. Neither of them had the whole picture. Somebody just needs to say to yourself, I don't have the whole picture. I know I don't. I don't have the whole truth, right? So we pick it up. The next day around noon, as Cornelius' men were approaching Joppa, now, can I just say I love God's timing so much? Like at the very moment Cornelius' men were approaching the house where Peter was staying, this is what happens. Peter went up to the flat roof of the house to pray. He was hungry and wanted to eat, but while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance and entered into another realm. Wow! As the heavenly realm opened up, he saw something resembling a large linen tablecloth. Some versions say blankets, whichever. I've picnicked on blankets and... yeah, so it doesn't matter, that descended from above, being let down to earth by its four corners. As it floated down, he saw that it held many kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and wild birds. A voice said to him, Peter, go and prepare them to be eaten. Now, this was a very radical thing Peter was being told to do, because all of the animals that were on the picnic cover, picnic table cover, blanket, whatever, were unclean animals that he had been taught, do not eat. In the scripture, do not eat, it says, of the unclean animals. And now he's hearing a voice in another realm saying, have lunch, you're hungry. Peter said, he thought he was being tested, I'm sure. I'm sure he thought, oh, this is a test. I'm going to pass this one. He said, there's no way I could do that, Lord, for I've never eaten anything forbidden or impure according to our Jewish laws. The voice spoke again, nothing is unclean if God declares it to be clean. That's the one Dave posted. Nothing is unclean if God declares it to be clean. The vision was repeated three times. Because Peter's probably like me, hard-headed. I would need to see it three times to believe it, because the first time I would think, yeah, I was just hungry. That probably wasn't the Lord, right? That really didn't happen. But three times, that's kind of hard to discount. Peter was stunned. Then suddenly the linen sheet was snatched back up into heaven. Peter was so stunned by the vision that he couldn't stop wondering about what it all meant. I think that's hilarious. Because there have been times in my life when I felt like God spoke something to me or he gave me a dream. And I'm like, huh, what does that mean? I do not get it. And sometimes I don't get what it means until months later. Months, even years, one of my dreams. I didn't get until years after I dreamed it, but it stayed really in my brain. It's like where it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. It's kind of like that. So Peter was so stunned, he's like, what could that mean? That could not mean I'm supposed to go down and have a bird for lunch. Pretty sure I'm not supposed to break out a roast pig. You know? What could it mean? What could it mean? What could it mean? Meanwhile, Cornelius's men had learned where Peter was staying, and at that same moment, woo, I love God's timing, were standing outside the gate. They called out to those in the house, is this where Simon the Rock is staying? As Peter was in deep thought, trying to interpret the vision, the Spirit said, go downstairs now, for these men are looking for you. Don't hesitate to go with them, because I have sent them. Wow. So we see here that in Peter's encounter, he saw this linen tablecloth that dropped down unclean animals, as I said. He heard a voice that said, do something that I've always told you was wrong. I don't know if that messes with you like it messes with me, but it messes with me. Because I'm one of these parallel and perpendicular people. I am not a hippie. I love that Dave is a hippie. I am not a hippie. I am not wired to be that way. I literally celebrate that he's in our lives because I need people like that in my life. Because I am straight-laced. If there is a rule, I will keep it. I don't have to understand why. If there's a rule, I will keep it. It just feels safer to me. It just feels better to me, right? Everybody's different. It's all good. For Peter, I'm sure he was like, I don't understand. I would have been like, what? And he was told, nothing is unclean if I say it's clean. Now, Peter did recognize the voice of God. He knew he was hearing from God. He just couldn't wrap his mind around it. What does this mean? I'm not telling you to go out and break rules. I'm telling you to listen for the voice of God. Because I think there are some things in our lives that we have held precious onto like a sacred cow, and we think it's against the rules, and maybe God never even said it was against the rules. And we've misunderstood him. Okay, we pick up the story there. The second point is get together with others to share truth. If we would all adopt a mantra or if we would have a decision that we would never speak to a social issue, we would never speak to a political issue until we heard the voice of the Lord. If we have an encounter with God, then we can talk about it. But then I wouldn't recommend, you notice Peter didn't preach a sermon here. He didn't go out on his roof and go, gather around. I have new instructions from the Lord. We can now eat pork. Bacon is good. And all of us are going, hallelujah. Right? He asked not what he did. He didn't go to a public platform to do that. He listened to what God told him to do. God said, go and see this guy named Cornelius, and I'll tell you what to say when you get there. That's a little bit different. Acts 10, 24 through 29. I had to skip some verses because it's so much. The next day they arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting anxiously for them and had gathered together all of his relatives and close friends. The moment Peter walked in the door, Cornelius fell at his feet to worship him, but Peter pulled him up to his feet and said, stand up, for I'm only a man and no different from you. They talked together and then went inside. I just love that even. They talked together and then went inside. Where Peter found a large gathering. Talk about influence. I love that Cornelius was so convinced he was going to hear from the Lord that he gathered everyone in his sphere of influence and said, you got to come. I don't know what this guy's going to say, but it's going to be awesome. Oh, I love that so much. I want to meet him in heaven someday. I won't call him corny either. I will fight the urge, but I will call him Cornelius. Peter said to them, you all know that it is against Jewish laws for me to even associate with you or visit a home of someone who's not a Jew. Yet God has shown me that I should never view anyone as inferior or ritually unclean. Whew. So when you sent for me, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Why am I here? God's made it clear that I could come into your home and we could talk together and we could meet together. Why am I here? He didn't know anything about Cornelius except what he had been told. Like, he didn't know him. I just love that. Sometimes we try to preach to people before we even know them. I just love that Peter was like, okay, why am I here again? Here's what I noticed about when they came together. Point A, get together in humility. Cornelius knew he needed some truth. Peter would not let Cornelius worship him. He's like, no, I am a man just like you. I'll share with you what I know. You share with me what you know. That is such humility. Oh God, every believer in this world, help us to have that kind of humility when we come together with unbelievers. That's a cry of my heart. I'm serious. That's a cry of my heart. Because we're losing a lot of people because we have stinking pride. It's not pretty. It is ugly. Point B, get together in response to God's leading. That's the other thing we do. We jump the gun sometimes. We jump the gun. And God is like, slow down a little bit. You stay in step with God. Don't lag behind and making him drag you. But don't jump ahead of him and you're dragging him. Follow the Spirit's leading. Cornelius followed the Spirit's leading, and so did Peter, and I adore that. When you come together in humility, when you come together following the Holy Spirit's lead, you get influence in a big way. You see, Cornelius had influence, and he brought people together, and the moment Peter walked in the house, none of those people knew Peter. They hadn't heard anything about him as far as we know, but because Cornelius had respect for him and was ready to listen, all those people were ready to listen too. That's amazing. Point three, enjoy the move of the Holy Spirit together. Enjoy the move of the Holy Spirit together, because while Peter was speaking, verse 44, please read the rest of it. It's so good. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit, I love this word, cascaded over all those listening to his message. He preached Jesus. That's what he preached. He did not preach rules. He did not preach laws. He did not preach traditions. He preached Jesus. Let me tell you about my friend. Here's what I saw him do. And then I saw that he was crucified. And then I saw that he rose from the dead. And he has the power to heal and restore and love you back to life. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit cascaded over all those listening to his message. How many? 2%? No. All. You know what the Greek word for all is? I don't know, but it means all. That's what it means. It means all. The Jewish brothers who had accompanied Peter, there's a lesson in that too, he didn't go alone, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on people who weren't Jews. That cracks me up. Imagine a group of people that you think would never experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then what would happen if you saw that group experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? That would be so fun. For they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages and passionately praising God. Peter said, how could anyone object to these people being baptized? For they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Not a different outpouring, the same outpouring. So he instructed them to be baptized in the power of the name of Jesus, the Anointed One. That's implied that it's water baptism. I think some translations even say baptized in water. After their baptism, they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. There's nothing like being together when you experience a move of the Holy Spirit. There is something that joins you with that those people that you're with in a way that lasts forever. Jeff has often said that when he takes a team on a mission trip, if it's 10 days long, he said it's like a full year of relationship happens in 10 days because you experience a move of God with those people and it joins your spirits together in a way that nothing else can. Oh, that's my cry for Oak River. Like we would encounter truth, the person of truth, together in such a way that we would celebrate the move of the Holy Spirit powerfully among us. And that it wouldn't stop here, obviously. Look at Cornelius. He got everybody he knew involved. And he brought them in to here, into his home. I love that too. They didn't have to go to a building. Come into my home and hear the truth. That's a beautiful thing. This morning I was doing my devotions. I was telling Gail, I think, this morning. I was doing my devotions and I'm amazed that God, I mean, I've studied the Bible my whole life, you know? And I'm amazed that God can show you something for the first time, even though you've studied it your whole life. And I was reading in Matthew 15 where it talks about Jesus going into a new area after some healings that took place. And it says that he went and people brought all their sick to him and all their, you know, possessed to him. And he healed them all. And then it says 3 days later is when Jesus said, it's the feeding of the 4,000. It's when Jesus said, I feel sorry for these people. They're hungry. They've been with me all this time. Now, I don't know why, but I've always assumed that for 3 days, Jesus sat them down and preached to them for 3 days. And this morning, I felt like the Lord showed me that it was 3 days of supernatural miracles that led to rejoicing together. And I could just in my mind see pockets of people gathering for 3 days and saying, you are not going to believe what Jesus did for me. You see this arm, it used to be a shriveled up short thing. And now, look, I have fingers and I can move them. And then another pocket of people over here going, I had such a broken heart that I couldn't even smile, much less laugh. And now God has healed my heart, and I can rejoice. And I could just, for 3 days, like this three-day crazy revival going on. I'm not saying Jesus didn't teach. I know he did. But there's no evidence of that before feeding of the 5,000, 4,000. Feeding of the 5,000, yes, not the 4,000. Look it up. Very interesting. So then I was like, what would that look like if we got so overwhelmed by the power of God that we stayed together for 3 days not thinking about food? That would be a miracle for me. I'd be heading to Mitchell's at least. I'd be sneaking out the back and no. They celebrated the goodness of God through the person of Jesus Christ. I want us to come together in truth that leads to power. It gets me excited. I don't know. I feel like there's somebody here, maybe more than one person, that you've had a block when it comes to hearing God's voice because you always assume that God is going to speak something that's wrong with you and that you really needed to hear heaven's perspective on Cornelius this morning because it's going to open up. Have you ever seen those floors that open this way? Like it's going to open up something over your head that you're going to be able to hear his voice and what he loves about you. What heaven celebrates about you instead of what you're lacking. If that's you, stand up. I want to pray for you. Anybody? I really feel like somebody's here, but maybe you're scared. Don't be scared. I'm not going to say anything bad. Anybody? Okay. Anybody else? Maybe you've heard some good things, but you expect bad things. And so you just want to get that cleared away. You want that floor over your mind to open up so that you can hear clearly God's voice over you that celebrates you. God, I thank you for these two precious people who stood in courage. And God, I thank you for the amazing moving aside of the floor that they're going to be able to hear your celebrations over them like never before, that they're going to be able to hear what you adore about them, what you cherish about them. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the opening of their ears and their heart to hear what you love about them, that they're going to hear it in the most mundane activities, that they're going to be shocked that they hear something and they're going to actually question whether it was you because it seems too good, but it's going to be you. And so I thank you for that. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Now, maybe there's somebody here that you know that you have been guilty of speaking out on a topic before you hear from heaven on the topic. Danielle's ready to stand up and raise her hand. Okay, well, stand up if you, I wasn't going to have, stand up if you want to stand up or raise your hand, whatever. Yep. You really have a hunger to hear heaven, not just about a topic, but about a person before you speak to them. You want to see them as their heavenly Father sees them. Whoo. Oh God, I thank you for these beautiful people who are willing to be so vulnerable in front of you, in front of other people. Lord, I thank you for that beautiful gift of vulnerability. And now I thank you that you are going to speak to them beautiful nuggets about every single person they encounter, especially those closest to them. Because sometimes it's easy to hear good stuff about strangers, but it's hard to hear good stuff about people you know. So I thank you that you're going to break apart that barrier and that you are going to speak to people the way heaven sees them. You're going to speak to people about topics, about the way heaven sees a hot topic, and they are going to hear from you before they speak. They're going to hear from you so strongly that when they do speak, it's going to be bathed in love, that their words are going to come out, but it's going to feel like they're giving out flower bouquets with their mouth. Like it's going to feel so beautiful. It is going to be just doused in the fruit of the Spirit that they're going to hear from heaven before they speak, Lord. And I thank you then that you're going to increase their influence with those very people, that you're going to increase their influence, Father, in ways that we can't currently imagine. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Woo, I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit here so strong today. Like, it's not like people falling over power. It's an inner work. I can feel it really strong. So I'm glad you were here. We prayed in pre-service that God was going to bring healing to people, that there were going to be like before and after pictures when you walked in and then when you walked out. And so I don't know if you needed physical healing. If you did, I think you have it already. And if you needed some kind of emotional healing, whatever the case may be, I just know there are going to be healings that happened already today. And so if you want to share that news with somebody, check it out. If you were limping when you came in, check it out. Am I still limping? Oh, no, I'm not. And then if you aren't, tell somebody. And if you still want more prayer, then find somebody to pray with you. There's lots of people. It's not just a few people here who can pray. The person sitting next to you can pray for you. They don't have to have minister after their name? No. No degree needed. They can pray for you. So find somebody to pray for you and come back next week to hear Together Encounter. We talked about truth today, and I was kind of bordering on encounter, but now we're going to go full on into encounter next week. Okay? Thanks for coming. Have a fabulous week. Joan, it's good to see you again. She moved over the last month, and we've missed her. So anyway, great to see you guys. Have an awesome week.